Naughty Dog shared an in-depth look at their Last of Us Part 1 remake, and Comic-Con happened. Ladies and gentlemen, this is episode 273 of the It's Obvious podcast. My name's Garrett Drake, and I'm joined online by Jacob Alka.
What's going on, buddy? How you doing?
Buddy old pal.
Hey there, you old buddy old pal.
Come on now, boy.
Good to see you, Jacob.
It's good to see you and hear you as well.
You know, I've always told you, I think I've told you for years on and off this podcast, whenever you wear blue, it's your color because it just makes your eyes explode out of your face in the best way possible.
Thank you. Thank you. I didn't plan this. I think I just have a lot of blue and I always wear blue. That's the thing.
It's your color, brother. Your eyes enrapture me.
Maybe I'm just subconsciously, you know, keeping track of all the compliments you give me and I'm just trying to farm them. I'll just wear blue every time I see you.
Grinding for compliments. What are you going to cash these in for?
Hopefully.
One night alone with me.
Yes, the grand prize.
I look forward to it, Jacob. You've definitely been grinding for many years now, and it's high time you cashed in.
Either that or a million coconut milks. I've been drinking a lot of coconut milk lately.
What's the deal with coconut milk?
It's good. It's been like my replacement for soda for the most part. I still drink a little like zero soda. But I've stopped for like a couple weeks now, trying to cut back.
I enjoy the occasional zero soda. I think the only soda I really drink nowadays that is just full-blown sugar and death is Baja Blast, because it's blasphemous, in my opinion, to not get it when you're at Taco Bell.
Yeah, you got to indulge when you're in the Bell.
I tried a good slurp of that new Brisk purple drink. I almost said that purple stuff.
Okay. I've never had a Brisk, for the record.
It was okay. It kind of tastes like gummy bears or just gummies in general.
Gummies are very good.
I'm certainly a good drink, but sorry, what were you going to say? You're a berry what?
I said,
you're a berry?
I am a berry and I'm also very berry.
You're blueberry tonight.
I don't even know what I was saying. I'm a big fan of gummy worms is what I was going to say. But whatever you were saying, please continue.
Yeah, gummy worms are good. Sour gummy worms. I like gushers. I like fruit by the foot. I like fruit roll-ups.
You remember when we would hang out, like, you know, when we all lived close to each other, we would hang out like every Friday or Saturday night or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. Like we would all go to the local QT gas station and just load up on snacks for the night. And I would and Taco Bell. Thank you. But I would always get the gummy worms, the sour gummy worms, because they are.
Who was it that got donuts every time? Didn't you get donuts?
That was Evan. He always got donuts.
Evan was the donut man. Yeah. Okay. QT really does have good donuts. They deliver them fresh at like, I think it's like roughly midnight every night.
Yeah, when we would go there, they would like be pulling out of, the truck would be leaving.
Pretty dang good, brother. Ain't no Krispy Kreme, don't get me wrong, but that's what I meant by they're good donuts everywhere, but they ain't Krispy Kreme.
Yeah, amen.
Anyway, Jacob, how was your week?
It was just okay, Garrett. Nothing bad happened. Nothing really good happened. I was in a better mood this week, if that counts for anything. Did my weekly run on Saturday. Got out at the pool on Saturday, too. Really enjoyed that.
You've always been a pool guy.
Not really. Like, the last few years, I would say, I haven't really been at the pool that much. But
man, as long as I've known you, I could swear you're like, I want to go to the pool.
I enjoy the pool a lot. I will say that. I've always really enjoyed being there and just being in the sun. But I just haven't gone for whatever reason for the last couple of years, but I made it a point to go out and enjoy the sun. It was a nice day on Saturday. Got a good tan, I like to think, and stayed cool in the pool. So it was nice.
There is no tool in this pool.
Thank you. Yep. That's true. Nothing has ever been said that's more true.
I can't remember the last time I was in a pool. If I had my own pool, I'd get in it, but I'm kind of weird about public pools these days.
Really?
Well, I get that there's chlorine and stuff that kind of cleans itself over time, but yeah. I've been a couple public pools, man, that have just been vile places.
I believe swamps, basically.
And prefer to avoid them these days, but I understand the appeal of the pool for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Another small thing that's been interesting in my life or fun, I would say, is that I've been like re-motivated to work out more lately. I've just had this urge to, like, I've just been enjoying my workouts more. And I don't really know what the urge is. Do you ever just like, you're just motivated and you don't know why? You just are really enjoying what you're doing at the time and you're just more inspired to do the work?
I think so. When I have a ton of energy, I am. Mm-hmm. It's rare these days when I have a ton of energy. But on those rare occasions, that definitely motivates me to
go harder than your average day for sure.
Like Sunday and then today, I just had fantastic workouts and I was really proud of myself. So I give myself a pat on the back.
I had leg day today.
Oh, me too.
I've kind of hit a point where, I mean, for a long time, legs was agony every single time. But I've kind of hit a point where I've grown to appreciate it more.
You're crazy.
And it still sucks, but I don't hate it as much as I used to.
See, I just got back into doing legs, and it's agony. Mm-hmm. And I want to rip my legs off and eat them.
Mm-hmm. I have to battle my mind every leg day. And that's part of the fun, actually, is overcoming the weakness within.
Do you start with squats?
Face the pain. Squats, I do deadlifts. I do
deadlifts on leg day. Nice.
I do. What's that leg machine where you press with both legs?
Put them two together.
Leg press.
Yeah,
that's what it is. Leg press. I do the quad machine and the hamstring machine. Yeah. I do. What do you call that move where you put one foot on the bench and your other leg is way out there and you're dipping with the one leg?
I'm holding two dumbbells. I forgot what that particular.
I can't remember the name of it, but I do those.
But yeah,
do some calf stuff as well. Goblet squats as well. And I don't like ravage myself. I do it all within a reasonable amount of sets and reps to get through all of that effectively.
And some days you might not do all of those. You might
exactly just, I like to do legs at least twice a week, so I'll split it half and half usually.
That's pretty good.
So
I only do it once a week.
Yeah, you know what my main motivator is for legs, dude, is that I see one too many guys. And thankfully, I'm built so skinny that I'm never going to look completely insanely jacked. So I don't have to worry about this too much, but it still motivates me when I see guys that are so huge up top, but they have pencil legs. Mm. There's nothing more repulsive I've ever seen in my life, I think.
You can get away with it if you just wear pants, but yeah.
Yeah, but it looks so ridiculous. It just baffles me. I'm like, I never want to be that guy.
Yeah.
So I will shred the hell out of my legs twice a week if it means I'm not going to look like that guy.
Yeah. If you can do leg day, you can do anything in this world.
Exactly, dude. But yeah, I'm glad to hear you have a newfound motivation to go harder than you have in a little while.
Yeah. Thank you. I've been enjoying it. I've been finding ways to just keep myself pushing along, as they say.
The beat goes on.
Yeah. What about you, dude? How have you been?
Yeah, I'm good, Jacob. Not much. I've just been working as usual. So I am back in town and ready to talk about video games and other stuff with you as usual. I talked to Preston for about an hour and a half on the phone the other day. He's doing very well. But as usual, he's just constantly on the move. Tried to get him on this episode, but timing didn't work out again.
What's his problem, dude?
I don't know, man. He's a working man. I mean, so are we, but all of our schedules just are all over the place. So I'm glad that you and I can be here, Jacob. I'll say that.
Yeah, I wish he were here more than you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I get kind of sick of you.
We could use him.
Now that I
we
think
could
about
use him.
Him.
He brings an element to this podcast that obviously is just not the same without him.
Like what?
Just as he plays a lot more games than we do.
No,
He also trophies or platinums a lot more games than we do.
No, that's ridiculous.
I mean, maybe you play as many games as he does, but I certainly don't.
I think I might have used to.
He did tell me he did pre-order the Yatner God of War edition as well. Specifically for... the steelbook case is what he wanted.
Oh, the one that comes with no disc.
Yeah. I'm going to buy his digital. I don't know how he's getting the disc. He told me he's getting the disc somehow, but he wants me to buy his digital copy because he's apparently getting two copies. He wants me to just buy his digital versus just buying it off the store. So I'm like, yeah, I'll do that. That's fine.
There you go. See, that wouldn't work for someone sophisticated like me. I am a digital-only gamer now.
So am I. And,
except for the Switch.
I'm happy to be that way. It just feels so clean to me. I understand the appeal of having a beautiful game collection. And Preston's setup in his room is sick. Like, I love it, but I don't have space for that. And I also just like it all being clean and organized in the digital stratosphere.
Yeah.
It's just nice to me.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Anyway, Jacob, speaking of video games, tell me what you've been playing this past week.
So, Garrett, you won't believe this game that I've been playing this week. I embarked on a grand new adventure in the world of Warcraft.
Wow. Shocking.
And let me tell you what I did on this adventure. So there I was, level 60, a night elf rogue. Top of my realm. I have the highest IO score as a rogue. Not the highest on the server. But as a rogue, I do. But not just everyone on the server. I don't want to inflate my ego too much. But I put in the work. You know, I've worked hard, grinded a lot of dungeons. When people see me in Ouroboros, that's like the main city in Shadowlands. You know, They stop and look. Like they check out my armor.
Is that what it's all about for you, Jacob? Just having people admire your appearance in the game?
That's part of it. Yeah,
that's that's part of every MMO, from what I've come to understand.
Yeah, when you see someone, when you're running around the city, and you see that guy that's gets all decked out in like the in-game gear, and you're like, man, I wish I could be that person. But I'm that person. I'm that guy.
I get it, too, because you're wearing your accomplishments.
Mm-hmm.
Literally on your sleeve, so.
Yeah. Except I'm wearing a sleeveless shirt.
It's just, I've never really had a group of friends to play MMOs with. I know, I feel like in a different life, I would have been a diehard World of Warcraft fan.
Yeah, well, yeah, I just met these people online, you know. You just got to branch out and look for them. There's people just like you out there that want to be a night elf rogue like me.
good looking one of that, too.
Where was I going with this? So all I did in WoW this week was just grind mounts and transmog. Like, I didn't really do anything at all. Having all that said.
Just killing time.
Just wasting time till the new season. And I think it's August 2nd, which will be next week.
Yeah, that's right around the corner.
Yeah, so hopefully the gang will get back on. Everyone's been kind of like sparsely playing lately because there's not much to do. So hopefully we'll get back on and get in the groove and grind some more dungeons. But other than that, I jumped back into a game that I played, I think, last year. I played it whenever it came out, but it's a game called Scarlet Nexus. And I'm playing it on PS5. And I probably played maybe an hour of it. Got through the intro and like the intro quests, basically. But basically, it's this like anime style action game where you're like it opens up where they're accepting these candidates for this thing. Like, I don't even know what it is, but they like have these tentacles and they plug into you. And if you don't die, then you get to become one of these, like you get to become a Scarlet Nexus or whatever. So you're a part of like
this
task
force. What is
the
Scarlet Nexus exactly?
So they are protecting the city from these like things called the Others, which are these like alien looking creatures that just fall into the city and attack civilians. So you're like the task force trying to keep them away.
Isn't this a Switch game? Am I thinking of something else? Because I remember there being a Switch game where you play like an anime cop in the future.
No, that's something else. That's I think it might be the same company. Preston would be able to answer that.
Yeah, that's just, this is why we need him.
Yeah,
his knowledge is beyond ours.
But no, that I can't remember what that game is called. I could look it up here in a second. But no, I'm not sure if this game ever came to Switch. It might have since it came out, but not to my knowledge. But you know, it's just a classic, like, you know, bunch of enemies on the screen, you just hack them, slash them. There's like this cool thing where like on different missions, you have different party members or different like members of this force. And you can like every person has a different like kind of power. So like the guy I'm with right now has like this electric power. So I can like hold R1 in circle and then I can like bond, or it's not like bond, but it's like you can use some of their abilities. Like your primary attacks will be changed from like telekinesis into like electric attacks. So you can kind of like see what the enemies are weak to, and you can sort of like attack them with different elements to sort of, you know, have more effective attacks. Just that kind of stuff. Haven't really played enough to really see where the game's going. Like I said, I played it when it first came out, but I've restarted it, you know, just a couple days ago, just because I was looking for something new to play. I'm desperate for anything right now. Elden Ring's not really speaking to me right now, so just been kind of searching for something to occupy my free time.
I can relate, Jacob. I know we've mentioned, I think, Elden Ring the past few episodes. It also has not called me back quite yet. And I've kind of been in a rut, too, because there's so much that I could play on my backlog, but none of it is really standing out to me. I could finish Returnal. I could finish Control. A handful of others I could finish playing, but just none of them are really calling to me right now.
Yeah. It's frustrating.
Yeah, I don't know why that is. And it's not that situation where there's so much coming that that's what's putting me in a rut. It was like, oh, I just want to wait for the good stuff. That's just what's on my mind. It's not even that. I just really haven't been in the mood to play anything in particular. Yeah. I played a little more Call of Duty with Zach and his brother Andy. Got a couple Warzone wins, which was nice. Apart from that, I played a little bit of the Hot Wheels expansion for Forza Horizon 5.
Oh, really?
And it's pretty sweet. The opening introduction shows you how fun it can be and is supposed to be, but then they revert you back to here are the slow cars. You got to unlock the fast ones. And it gives you a decent sense of progression because there's missions that give you the really in-depth history of Hot Wheels, which is genuinely pretty interesting while you're racing. There's others that keep it engaging, but I wish you could just drive fast the whole time. but it's pretty cool. Because I love just really insane racetracks like that. But to this day, I still haven't had more fun in any racing game ever than I did in GTA Online's. It's called like Wild Stunts or something. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
The expansion came out forever ago. It was years and years ago. But
yeah,
those races were so much fun because of the physics in GTA and how crazy it can be and the crashes. To this day, that's the most fun I've ever had in a racing game.
Mm-hmm. Even more fun than Mario Kart?
I mean, yeah, definitely. I love Mario Kart, but just the insanity of GTA made it so much fun.
Yeah, I feel that.
Because Mario Kart is very formulaic. Like, once you get the hang of that game, like, every race is pretty much the same.
Yeah, that's true.
Forza is, to no one's surprise, incredibly designed. I've never been a much of a racing game guy anyway, but I can fully recognize just how beautifully those games are crafted and performed. So, and it runs immaculately on my PC. So it's been a good time.
You know, Garrett, you say that Mario Kart's very formulaic, but, you know, you're not really considering that Nintendo put a extra modifier on the Switch Mario Kart. And that modifier is that their online connectivity, their online whatever ecosystem is so bad that it makes every race at coin toss as to whether you're going to be able to win or not, depending if you have a good connection. Just because you're matched with so many different people all around the world. Like, I don't know how their system works, but every time that I try to do an online race, like, I would lag all the time, and it was ridiculous.
Yeah, it's one of the more bold modifiers I've heard of in quite some time. I mean, I appreciate that they're really going for it. I don't know if it's going to play out for them all that well in the long run, but...
Bold. It's not just Mario Kart. It's every Nintendo game.
Oh, man, they're really, really going for it.
They're killing it.
Good for them.
Go them.
Well, in addition to that, I saw Nope. I mentioned last week that Nope was my most anticipated movie of the year. My spoiler-free review is I do really like it. I didn't love it as much as I'd hoped I would.
Garrett.
That's the thing. I didn't even really necessarily dislike anything in the movie. It just didn't really... even the subversion that I went in fully expecting, although thematically it works very well, the subtext of all the multiple themes Jordan Peele is trying to explore all work individually. I think cohesively they don't work as well together. And I also think there's so many ideas packed into it that they don't all equally have enough room to breathe to really feel the full impact of them. That being said, I was thoroughly entertained the entire time. It is gorgeously shot. The sound design is absolutely incredible, not only just from the beauty of it, but also the haunting aspects of it. The score is also just it sounds like just like a classic Hollywood thriller tension building type of score. It's just beautiful. Not only like the big happy triumphant moments, but also the somber and spookier moments all just sound so beautiful. Performances are amazing across the board. Daniel Kaluuya's performance. A lot of people are complaining like, oh, you nerfed Daniel Kaluuya. He has a ton of talent. And I think that's fully emphasized in what he's doing with this character because his previous characters he's done, and not just Jordan Peele's movies, but his other work have been drastically different from what he does here, where it's so subtle that it hit me like a freight train. And there's something that happens in the movie that his character really has to carry with him throughout the whole movie. And you can just see that in his eyes without him ever even having to mention it again, which I thought was so powerful. Kiki Palmer is just incredibly entertaining, and I think she's hilarious in the movie. A couple of other characters that I think were intentionally cliche to prove a point about what the themes are trying to express, and I thought that was also hilarious and very entertaining. The emphasis on the film industry and roles within the film industry and cliches and unfortunate truths about some of it that are presented as someone who just loves filmmaking and the art of filmmaking was also great for me. It unfolds kind of at a slow pace, but it really picks up toward the end. And the ending I thought was pretty epic and fun to watch. I don't think I can really say anything else without spoiling it. I will say the twist in the movie was, I ended up coming around to it, and I do appreciate it because it's very original. It isn't necessarily what I was hoping for.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I do think it's pretty interesting. And although I didn't love the movie, I definitely want to see it again in theaters. And I saw it in AMC Dolby, and it was incredible. So I definitely want to see it again, at least one more time.
Take me.
I'd gladly take you.
Let's go.
So I might go this week if you're up for it.
Okay. Yeah, let me know.
If you like Jordan Peele's work, I would say it's absolutely worth seeing if you haven't seen it already. If you like thrillers, there's not as many horror elements as I expected, but if you like elements of horror and you like thrillers, it very much feels like a summer thriller. If you're into sci-fi, go see it. If you're into the art of filmmaking, go see it. And of course, if you just like Jordan Peele's style of tension and spookiness and comedic relief throughout, definitely go see it. I think the last thing I'll say is Jordan Peele, I think his strong suits across his three movies so far that I've mainly noticed, among everything else he's doing really well, is that he just writes and directs characters and dialogue beautifully. Although sometimes characters are intentionally parodies of either real people or real cliches of people, he writes it so well that it feels completely natural, even when it's like completely over the top, which I think is really impressive. So that is my spoiler-free review of Nope.
Okay, now spoil it all.
I will say, throughout the years, I've always been open to doing movie reviews and or movie podcasts. I just don't know who I would do it with, because I'm extremely passionate about movie going, watching a ton of movies, dissecting movies. Like the person I went to see the movie with, and I talked about it for like an hour and a half after we saw it, and there's so much to gather from it. And that's another thing I wanted to say. I was kind of disappointed that some really popular reviewers kind of missed the point of a lot of elements in the movie. They're like, why was this in there? It's so pointless. When I thought it was very obvious what it was trying to explore. That's no shade at anyone. I just feel like if you really sit down and really unpack it, there's a lot to take from it. For better or worse, there's a lot to take from it. So I was surprised to see some really notable reviewers completely miss the point of some elements of the movie. Reviews in general are subjective, but there are some elements that can be interpreted one way or another. And that's what's been really fun to talk about the movie, is that there are very obvious answers to some of the themes. And there are also that are a little more within shades of gray, that people have different interpretations, which has made it really fun to talk about too. So once you and I can see it, I can actually talk about the deeper elements that are even more fun to talk about.
Yeah. So do you think, like, your knowledge of just film in general, do you think that helped you appreciate the movie more than other people might have, maybe?
Does that make sense? Think so. I mean, maybe to a degree, but I feel like you can know nothing about the art of filmmaking and like a movie more than I would, even if it was made really well, you know? Okay. It depends on what you go to movies for. I mean, I think everyone at the end of the day wants to see a good story, usually. Also, the spectacle of certain movies play a big part of it. Every element matters, but some people go to movies for very particular reasons, so it's hard to say. But the majority of YouTubers I've been subscribed to my whole life have been movie YouTubers, even more so than gamers. Gotcha. I watch a lot more movie content than I do gaming content. So, but yeah, nice. I'm definitely going to see it again, and I'd love to see it with you, Jacob. Popcorn, sure. On me.
Oh, yeah, baby.
But I don't want to leave Andreas Green out. I meant to bring it up before we went into how our weeks were, but Andreas Green wrote in on Instagram and asked us, how you guys doing? That's the question, by the way. I said, I'm doing well. Grateful to be doing well.
Yeah, we're doing great. Thanks for asking.
Yeah. So nothing too big to report on. Jacob, all that being said, would you like to talk about the news? The Last of Us remake gameplay, the in-depth look provided by, I don't know if it was PlayStation or Naughty Dog, but obviously Naughty Dog's in the video. Druckmann's in there. That gentleman who's directing and a few others give commentary on the presentation. And before I kind of share what I have to say, Jacob, what were your initial thoughts? I know you kind of like skimmed through it and watched the whole thing, but yeah. What's your general impression of what they presented?
So I've always, out of the three of us, I've always been the one that's kind of like, I'm not the biggest Last of Us fan. I'm, I appreciate the series for what it is, but it was never like something that I was just, you know, obsessed over or anything to that degree. But the biggest thing that I really noticed from that 10-minute video, which I watched most of, but I definitely skimmed through a little bit of it, is that it's definitely like a visual, like they're definitely remaking this game. I know we talked about it before and you said like, oh, this is a remake. And like, I think I just kind of like brushed that off because I didn't really realize how much they just changed everything. Like it looks pretty similar to Last of Us 2 in terms of like the models, just everything. They've updated all the environments, how the enemies work. Like they've added new animations to like, you know, cutscenes in the game. Like they've just done so much work to this game. It's kind of it's not to say that this game doesn't deserve that, because it's definitely, if any game does, it's probably this game to bring it up to the par on the PS5 that The Last of Us 2 is at. But that was probably the biggest thing that I noticed, is like I feel like Last of Us 1 can now sit right beside 2. Like, you can play them both back to back on the PS5 and have a fantastic experience. And I think that's why they did it, because I think you could go back and play 1 right now, but it might be at the point now where it's like, oh, this actually feels like an old game now. And I think for some people, that could take away from their enjoyment of the game. Not to say that you can't enjoy old games, but I think some people, you know, say you just buy a PS5 and you want to experience The Last of Us. Like, you want to experience brand new shiny things. And if you can have this brand new Last of Us 1 version to play, like, of course you'd want that, I guess. But me as a gamer, like as a person, do I really want or need The Last of Us 1 remake? I don't think it's that cool, personally. Like, I think it's cool for people that haven't played it, but it's not really something that I want to go back and play. Does that make sense? Like, I think it's completely cool what they're doing.
Makes total sense.
I think it's worthwhile to do, but I would much rather Naughty Dog work on something else, if I'm being totally honest. But what do you think?
Yeah, well, the good news is they are working on something else. I mean, right. It's within the world of The Last of Us, but their big multiplayer game, which I'm most looking forward to beyond everything else. I think it's very safe to assume they will jump to a new IP after that multiplayer is out. I feel like they'll be getting the last bit of their Last of Us energy out with this multiplayer mode. Of course, they're going to sustain it over time, but in sustaining that, they can move forward with the new IP. I think inevitably we will eventually get a Last of Us Part 3. I think the series deserves a final chapter after Chapter 2 or Part 2. That being said, I'm also just impressed by the visual aspect of the remake. Of course, I'm looking forward to the DualSense features as well. But at the end of the day, I've stated this many times over the years, visuals, although I do appreciate them, never really draw me into an experience. But it does look incredible. I do like that they've improved AI to a degree with their system of, I think they call it predictive AI or something. So your partner, for example, will move before someone actually would be able to see them. And because there were those goofs in the original where your partner would just be like right next to someone, like Ellie would be right next to a guy and he wouldn't do anything. And I know we've kind of speculated that, I mean, they said this openly when they remastered Part 1 back in the day for PS4, that they wanted to learn the PS4 hardware. And that was a perfect opportunity to do so. And look what they achieved with Last of Us Part 2 at the end of the generation is insane how far they took a leap. I think it's safe to assume that they're kind of doing the same thing here, in addition to developing it alongside their multiplayer game. And we got to remember that Preston told me which studio it was, and I think it may have originally been Bend, who started the remake, and then Naughty Dog was like, actually, we're just going to do this ourselves, and took it back and did it themselves. So originally, Sony was going to have someone else take care of it. It goes to show how much Naughty Dog cares about their IP in general, but especially The Last of Us is very near and dear to them, as it should be. And I appreciate that they're handling it themselves. I totally understand when people say it's unnecessary. I think it kind of is unnecessary, but I don't think it hurts anyone. In fact, I think it really benefits a lot of people who have never played the original, because it's also coming to PC, we can't forget.
Oh,
so a lot of people
that.
On PC will not only be playing it for the first time, but playing the remastered version for the first time in its best possible presentation. Naughty Dog has also stated that originally we couldn't achieve everything we wanted to because of our limitations of the hardware, and now we've been able to achieve that with Part 1 remake.
See, I didn't know that. I think that's pretty cool. That kind of changes my mind on the whole thing. Like, if you're doing that for PC, that's definitely worth it.
It's not coming day one with PS5. It'll be out, I think the quote was, soon after it's launching on PS5. Okay. So, but it is coming. So I think that's another benefit to PC players. And
that's pretty cool.
And at the end of the day, no one is entitled to buy it. No one has to buy it. I know a lot of people are upset about the $70 price tag. And that may be people who genuinely want to play it again, but can't justify spending that much money. And I do think there's an argument to be had there. It's hard to really break it down, though, because at the end of the day, we can see that they put a lot of work into this. In fact, they put years into it. And to say that a game that's been rebuilt from the ground up, although it may have a very similar gameplay experience, not exactly the same, they've definitely made improvements, but a slightly new gameplay experience with breathtaking new visuals, I feel like justifies like a full game price of a new game, but I can understand the argument if it should be 40 or it should be 50, or I've bought it twice already in my history of PlayStation, I should be able to have it at a reduced price. I can see the argument there, but a team of many, many people have put years of their life and time and energy into recreating this from the ground up. To say it should be cheaper, I feel like, I don't think it can be said quite that easily without knowing exactly how much work was put into this. And it looks like it was quite a lot based on this video.
Yeah, it's kind of tricky Right, because like it's already an established game. Like they're just going back and basically remaking it in a lot of ways. So, I mean, personally, I think it's kind of asking a lot for $70 if I'm being totally honest. But if I hadn't played it and I would, like, in this new version was out, I wouldn't have any problem spending $70. That's what I'll say. But having played it, though, I don't think I'd ever go back and pay $70 for the first Last of Us. Unless, like, it, I mean, I see a day where potentially it comes out in a bundle with all three, potentially three games. And, maybe I would pay for that. But
I'm happy that their multiplayer mode is going to be standalone. I think that's a great decision. But I had imagined a world where Last of Us Part 1 Remake would be bundled into a Last of Us 2 PS5 enhancement version together in one collection, and their new multiplayer mode packed into it. So it's like the ultimate Last of Us experience.
See, that'd be well over $70.
All for $70. Yeah. It sounds like it'd be way more than 70, but that would be incredible.
Even if they just included Last of Us 2. Like, I think they should include Last of Us 2 for $70. I think that would justify the price.
I was still hoping we'd see a slight enhancement for Part 2. Maybe they'll do it down the road. I know they upped the frame rate and added DualSense features. I think they added DualSense features.
Quick question.
To the
game.
I can't remember.
Did they mention in that video that they're doing that for the DLC? Is it Left Behind? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, that's included.
Pick up on that. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Yeah, because I thought I saw clips from that DLC when they're little, but I didn't know.
I think I'll be in the mood. Is this September or October? I can't remember.
October? Or I might be thinking of another game we're going to talk about, though.
You'd think it'd be the first thing I see on Google typing that in, but it's not, if you can believe it. September 2nd. So that's very soon, actually. I think I might be in the mood to play it in September. I don't think I'm going to pick it up day one. I think in October I might be in the mood to play it. I like when I'm in a Halloween mood, I want to play that all
that's
over
a good
again.
Time.
Because I haven't played, replayed it all the way through since the remaster in 2014 or 15, I think. So it's been a minute for me.
When did it originally release? When was that?
2013. It was June of 2013, I think.
I didn't realize it was that long ago.
Yeah, it really was a while. It was almost 10 years ago.
Ooh, I'm getting old.
So yeah, overall, though, I think it looks great. Although I probably won't buy it on September 2nd, I will pick it up and play it at some point because I love the original and really excited about the way it looks and the way it feels on the DualSense as well. Will be cool. So yeah, Comic-Con, Jacob. There's only a couple of things that stood out to me from Comic-Con. A couple of comments on my end. Is there anything you're like dying to talk about from Comic-Con?
So the things that I watched, Black Adam looks fine. I'll probably see it when it comes out, but nothing in that trailer really was like, dude, you gotta check this out, man. Whoa. Like, I didn't have that reaction. I watched the Dungeons and Dragons movie that they're doing with like Chris Pratt, I think. No, not Chris Pratt. Chris Pine. Thank you. That looks fine, I guess. Like, it might be good. I don't know. Watched the trailer for Wakanda Forever. That seemed really cool. We both briefly talked about that. I'm really fascinated to see how they sort of tell that story without Black Panther. Really intrigued to go see that when it comes out for sure. What else was there? Basically Marvel announced the, what is it?
Phases 5 and 6.
Yeah, phase. Yeah. I was thinking the word phase. 5 and 6. So it's cool that they're doing Fantastic Four finally. And then they're going to do two new Avengers movies at the end of phase 6, which is cool. I didn't expect more Avengers. Or I guess I kind of did, but like for some reason it just surprised me. Oh, Avengers. I kind of just like assumed the end of Avengers was Infinity War. Yeah. What I'm missing something. What else was there?
I mean, Marvel overall was definitely the highlight. I don't keep up with all things Comic-Con, but I definitely paid attention to the Marvel stuff. Still haven't seen Thor. I'm going to wait until that's on digital, but
yeah, me either.
Some of the announcements stood out to me as well. Similar to you, I thought the Wakanda Forever trailer was just beautiful. One, because it's definitely...
music was good.
The movie, from what I've read, is essentially dedicated to Chadwick Boseman. Black Panther is a title, and many people have had that title throughout Marvel's history. Yes. And even within the MCU, they kind of address that in his first movie of like all the generations of Black Panthers. So someone's got to take that mantle. There's speculation and theories it's going to be Shuri, his younger sister. It might be one of the other characters. I think it's going to be a female character.
Yeah, for sure.
One, based on the poster, looks more slender and feminine, like the mask. And also that shot at the end where the claws come out looks like it's a woman in the suit.
Which I think is a slender arm.
Yeah, I think that's totally fine. I think that's cool. But the trailer was beautiful. One, just because music always, when used correctly, can make anything more emotional. And the music was beautiful. I'm just always shocked when I see a Marvel movie that has actual locations in it now. Like Doctor Strange, I really enjoy, but it's just a CGI mess. And a lot of it looks cool, but it's just, it's all fake. So it's hard to it's hard to look at a frame. Yeah, it does. But it's hard to look at a frame and be like, man, that's so beautiful when you know it's all just completely designed in a computer. But the opening shots and a lot of the sets in this trailer, although definitely enhanced by CGI, are mostly real. Like all those beach shots at the beginning are so gorgeous. Like I was immediately, the second that trailer opens with Lupita Nyong'o on the beach, I was like, that looks so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And that's rare that I ever look at a Marvel movie and think that.
Yeah.
But even all the CGI scenes packed into it, I guess there's a lot thrown into this trailer and it like really ramps up at the end. Mm-hmm. All looked really cool and interesting. I liked that not too much is revealed. I just thought it was a beautiful trailer, man. Gave me chills, got me hyped up. Because it really is like tragic and sad that Chadwick Boseman died as young as he did.
Yeah.
It was just awful. And I know that, that production's had a lot of trouble too with like all kinds of issues they've had to deal with. So the fact that the trailer looks that good and the cast looks that hyped up about it at Comic-Con got me even more excited. So excited for November for sure.
Another small thing that I really like about like the first Black Panther and then this one, just seeing the trailer, is it's almost like a culture shock when I watch that franchise, because like it's just things that are so foreign to me, like, you know, the culture of like, because is Wakanda in Africa? Is that where it is?
In Marvel, it is. Wakanda isn't a real place, but it's based in Africa. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's just like an insight to a world that, you know, doesn't exist, you know, but it's, you know, it's taking from cultures in Africa. And mm-hmm. it's just cool to see stuff like that on the big screen in the Marvel universe. It's very, it is very cool in that sense.
Black Panther dude is, because his introduction in Civil War is just so badass. Like that whole movie, he's just so freaking cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like his first movie a lot. I think it's a bummer that they killed off Killmonger, the end, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
So I thought he was a great character. But I even like his first movie, even though the CGI in it is truly atrocious. It's so bad, but the movie and the story really works. I don't want to go on a huge tangent. That's another thing to be said about Marvel properties in general. I've just progressively begun to look worse and worse. And there's a huge conflict in the visual effects industry right now, because it isn't a singular visual effects house that works in these movies. There are sometimes dozens that all contribute to these movies for different reasons, and they're all just getting swamped by these projects and deadlines, and then shots that will complete and then they have to redo them from scratch. And that's why a lot of them look unfinished in a lot of cases, which is just tragic. I don't know how they're going to deal with, because you look at the phases 5 and 6 and the release schedule, which is exciting, like a lot of it I'm looking forward to, but God bless the people working on these movies, dude, because a lot of them require an immense level of visual effects and they have very little time to complete them in a manner that looks really acceptable these days. And thankfully, Avengers Infinity War and Endgame look incredible. Like Thanos alone looks astounding, but that's because those were Avengers movies and it was probably all hands on deck to get those to look as good as they possibly could. But everything coming, I'm not interested in every single thing. There's a lot of it, which, again, we're like, we've kind of reached the oversaturation of Marvel at this point. But the good thing is, you can kind of,
way past it.
You can really pick and choose what you want to see. I try to keep up with all of it just because I do, at the end of the day, mostly enjoy everything Marvel I see. It's kind of like Call of Duty for me. I don't love every Call of Duty, but I always kind of like every Call of Duty.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's kind of like just being a part of something, right? Like you're.
Mm-hmm. You've I've been on the so journey much, since 2008, so man. Time. I'm not going to hop off now.
Yeah, exactly. They got you.
Yeah. So I think I'm excited to see what they do with Daredevil. He's getting his 18 episode series.
Yeah, that's what Daredevil, I was going to say. Daredevil. Yeah, that's awesome.
I know he's going to show up in She-Hulk and Echo before his own show. And they tease him at the end of the She-Hulk trailer. He's in his old school, like golden red suit, which is kind of a cool idea. I just hope the storytelling can be as impactful as it was on Netflix, because those first three seasons are nearly perfect.
I love
and they're
that
so
show.
Hardcore too. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really what was a major appeal for me in the original series, is how brutal it was. And I don't see why, now granted it's within the MCU, so they're kind of limited, but technically speaking, although Feige apparently did not like the guy who ran the Netflix side of the MCU, they basically made that stuff sort of non-canon. But they're saying that this Daredevil and Kingpin are the exact same ones that were in that original series.
That's good. That Kingpin was great. I love that Kingpin. Like, he did such a good awesome. Job. I don't know his name, but
Vincent D'Onofrio. I was going to say, because it's so complicated to predict what it'll be, because they've put Deadpool 2 and Logan on Disney Plus, and those are both extremely R-rated. So those are out there. Blade deserves to be rated R. It's still don't know if they're going to do that. They've supposedly claimed that the next Deadpool will be rated R when it comes out, which will be, from what I understand, the first MCU movie that's canon that's rated R. I feel like they should just go for it, dude. There's such a passionate fan base for Daredevil already from the Netflix series. I feel like you'd be doing yourself and everyone who loves it a disservice if it isn't as brutal and intense as it was on Netflix. So that isn't what necessarily defines the show, but it was a big part of it for sure.
So are we ever going to see any X-Men?
Yeah. X-Men, the animated show X-Men 97 is supposedly canon. That's coming to Disney Plus later on.
It's animated though?
There's also a show called The Mutants, or movie called The Mutants, that's coming out. People are speculating if they're even going to call it X-Men, because there's like this conversation. I was like, X-Men sexist. You can't call it the X-Men.
Yeah.
So they're going to call it The Mutants or something. But
X-Men. X-Women.
The X-Team, which I think they're really... There's X-Force, which is something different, but within the mutant world.
I asked because I want a new Wolverine movie. And like, you know, like I know... what's his face? Who plays Wolverine? What's his name?
Hugh Jackman.
I know he's getting older. You know, I saw a picture of him today. He's kind of slim now. I know he like goes through phases and stuff, but like, who's going to be the next Wolverine when that time comes?
That's still a ton of speculation. I think the latest word is that Taron Egerton, I can't remember how to say his name correctly, but he's the guy who's in the original first two Kingsman movies. He played, what's his name in that biopic? I can't remember his name, Rocket Man.
Who did he play in Kingsman?
The main character, Eggsy.
Oh, that guy. Yeah. Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, I haven't seen him since the first Kingsman, so he probably looks way different.
I don't know. We'll see. I'm kind of open to whatever at this point, but I look forward to seeing X-Men fully involved with the MCU and also the Fantastic Four. Because when I think of Marvel Comics in general, my dad had a ton of Marvel Comics when I was growing up. From his youth, and every cover was just packed full of color. You'd see the Fantastic Four in one corner and Spider-Man swinging somewhere else, the X-Men down in another corner. That's just so cool to see them all together. And the only way you top Endgame is to throw in all of those characters as well, including multiverse characters. I think there's a bunch of rumors that, unless it's just full-blown fact at this point, that Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield will be back for one of these Avengers movies, if not both. Because it's called the Multiverse Saga, the phases 5 and 6. Phase 4 kind of teased it and introduced it. Going into phases 5 and 6, it's the full-blown multiverse saga. So
that'd be crazy.
That's really the only way you top Endgame, honestly, is to bring in, like, even Hugh Jackman showing up as a multiverse version of Wolverine would make sense.
Yeah. Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, you could do a lot with it. We'll see. It's a long way out, even because I don't think the Avengers movies are out till 2025, so we're going to be hanging for a while.
But they're both coming out that year, which is cool.
Yeah, within months of you. I think it's like May and November or something crazy like that.
Surely one of them gets delayed. Like, surely the second one gets delayed.
We'll see if those visual effects teams can keep it up. I've seen so many memes of... it's not funny to joke about, because people actually do like have to deal with this, but all the memes of visual effects companies just crying and screaming at the idea of having to have two Avengers movies out within like 6 months of each other.
They're just drowning in work.
Yeah.
It's not funny at all.
So on one hand, it's like, great, we have so much work. It's insane. Like, we can literally see the next 4 years of our work schedule ahead, but you're also killing yourself every day at work to get it done.
Shout out to them. There was a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I was kind of bummed to hear that the Spider-Man freshman year series, although it's canon in the MCU, is a different timeline. It's like a multiverse timeline. Like, the show itself looks cool. I think the art direction's sick. It looks like a classic 60s cartoon. Daredevil's in it with like a different costume, and apparently Spider-Man has a bunch of different costumes in it. And they're going to do a sequel series called Sophomore Year, because I think Homecoming picks up in his junior year, but I'm just kind of upset that it isn't Tom Holland's Spider-Man. It's technically him, but in a different timeline, and someone else is voicing him as well. Definitely going to check that out, though. I think it looks really cool.
I haven't really seen anything about that. I should look at it.
But I don't think really anything else stood out to me from Comic-Con.
Was there a trailer for She-Hulk?
There was. Yeah, there's a second trailer.
Okay. I didn't see that. Was it good?
It looks entertaining. I'll probably check it out. But I'm not like dying to see it or anything, but it looks okay.
So I don't know anything about She-Hulk. Is Banner in the movie?
He is. Yeah, he's right alongside her for most of it. Also Abomination, the guy from the first Incredible Hulk movie with Edward Norton.
Oh, I like that guy.
Abomination was in Shang-Chi as well. Did you see, you and I saw Shang-Chi together, right?
No, I never saw that
movie. Oh, dude, that movie is pretty epic.
Dude, I didn't see that movie.
It's not like the best MCU movie ever, but it's entertaining throughout. The fight scenes are incredible. And also the third act was so insane that I couldn't believe what I was watching. It just goes so over the top that I loved it for that. Like, I'll just say this. If you've ever really wanted to see what live action Dragon Ball Z could be, it's the third act of Shang-Chi. It's completely insane.
Okay. Okay.
I think it is on Disney Plus now.
I got some work to do.
Yeah, it's a cool movie, man. That. The cast is really fun too. I'll actually say this. I think it's the best Phase 4 MCU property among all the shows. I like a couple of the shows, but
what about Spider-Man?
Aside from No Way Home, of course. No Way Home is my favorite just because I'm kind of biased towards all the nostalgia packed into it. But just as a standalone origin story of an MCU hero that's never been on the big screen before, Shang-Chi was phenomenal. So definitely check it out.
I will try.
Yeah, but Marvel also stated while they did reveal a lot at Comic-Con, they have supposedly, quote-unquote, even bigger news to share at Disney, what's that convention they do?
Disney Plus.
No, it's... What's it called? But they have more news to share. I think it's in September. DisneyCon?
Star Wars Celebration.
No, it's not that.
Isn't it like Disney 21 or something?
D-Con or something?
Isn't it D21?
D21, that's what it is. It's such a weird name for a conference.
That's so dumb.
I don't know why they call it that. No wonder I couldn't remember it.
D21 and up.
Just call it DisneyCon or something. I don't know. But they're going to reveal D-Con. Even more at D21. Looking forward to it. DC had no news to announce because Ezra Miller's kind of effed everything up for everyone. But Shazam Fury of the Gods trailer came out. I really, really like David F. Sandberg. He's the director. He's always been in filmmaking, but he really got his start on YouTube making horror shorts with his wife. You ever seen the movie Lights Out?
Is that the one with
the creepy shadow?
The blind dude?
It's the creepy shadow lady. Jacob, you don't like horror movies? That movie will F you up, dude, how creepy it is.
Oh, let's avoid that
one. Yeah, it would. I rarely get creeped out by horror movies ever these days, but that movie genuinely creeped me out big time. And that's based
on... if I had seen it, I'd probably know then.
It's cool because he originally wrote and directed the short on YouTube, and the short blew up and got a lot of attention. And then over time, he got a lot of gigs, and he got to write... I don't know if he actually wrote the full thing, but he got to direct the feature version that came out in theaters. And then he went on to direct Annabelle Creation. Then he did Shazam 1. And Shazam 1's awesome. It's a really good movie. And Fury of the Gods, I'm confident, will be pretty cool too. But it's funny because they shot a lot of it in Atlanta, like most movies shoot today. And there's one location in the trailer I was hoping to see where... you know, I've taken you to Big Softy before, haven't I? The ice cream place? Yeah, that street has a lot of movie work on it these days because it looks kind of like an old town. And I went on that street within a week of them shooting on that location. And all the stores had been redesigned to look like stores that were in, I guess, New York or something, like in a different town. And I was so confused, dude, because there were no cones, there was no staff, there was no film crew, there's nothing but all the props. And I was like, what happened here? I was like, there's a laundromat. I was like, why did they replace the barbecue place with a laundromat? And I was so confused. And later came to find out that they'd left all those props up for a couple of weeks. I think because they had reshoots planned or something. But in the trailer, you can see where they're sitting. You remember Kathleen?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She and I went to that barbecue place and sat in the exact same spot that Shazam and this character and her in the trailer.
That's awesome.
I was like, that's hilarious. But yeah, that's David crazy. F. Sandberg's awesome. And he still occasionally does YouTube content when he has time. So always rooting for him. I think it's so cool that he's really killing it and the film industry right now. And the Batman sequel isn't coming for 5 years. So that's kind of a bummer. I was hoping for 3 years max, but it's going to be 5 years.
At least we still have the one we can rewatch as much as you want.
Yeah, it's a good one when I'm in the mood.
Have you seen it again?
I think I've seen it 4 times. I've only watched it once.
That's a lot.
On HBO Max, but I do like it.
I have HBO Max. I forgot to say. I watched that show that you recommended.
Station 11.
Station
11, did you watch the whole show?
No. I've watched 2 episodes.
Okay. Because that show unfolds in such a beautiful way.
I'm already just lost. Like, I kind of get it. But I'm also just like, I feel like something else is going on here.
Yeah, bear in mind, Jacob, that is totally by design. The book's written the exact same way.
Yeah, it's clear that the whole show is based off, I mean, without spoiling anything, it's based off this thing they keep referencing throughout the show, each episode. And it's crazy because both the episodes that I've seen have just been completely different. Like they've had different like tones and just different, you know, moments of time or happening. It's just, and they're like going back and forth or like flashbacks, and like you're learning more about what happened in one episode and then you go back to the present time and it's just like, what's going on?
The way it all comes together at the end is beautiful. So yeah. I hope you stick it out.
I am. I'm enjoying it a lot.
What's crazy, I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but that book was written several years before the pandemic. Because when I started the show, I was like, oh, this is just a riff off of what's been happening in the world. And then I realized it came out way before that.
That's cool.
Even though that's a big plot device in the show, it isn't what really defines the show at the end. It's so much more than that.
Figured that. Yeah. Because it's weird because the whole episode is about that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the second one, you're like, this, it's not even talking about this much at all. It's crazy. Yeah. It was a weird trip. So
yeah, please stick with it, though. I'd love to talk to you about it after you finish it.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Man, this has really been a movie podcast this episode. It was not intentional.
I mean,
gaming news was very minimal this week. Other than if you want to talk about the Bayonetta 3 release date, I've never played any Bayonetta games.
So I haven't either. I just wanted to put that in because we've been talking about Bayonetta 3. We've been memeing on it for so long because they announced it like years ago.
Yeah.
And it's finally coming out this year. I just thought that
Bayonetta's like a hack and slash, right?
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's a little suggestive at times. But yeah, I doubt that I'll play it. The only way I would play is if I picked up the other two, which you can on Switch now. So I think you can get them both separately. Originally, you can only get two, and it came with one, but you can buy them each now on Switch.
Is it Nintendo exclusive?
It is.
Oh, yep. See, I can't get hyped about playing a hack and slash game that deserves a high frame rate on Switch, bro.
Yeah.
Unless it's going to run at 60 frames. Something tells me it won't.
Garrett, come on. No way.
I mean, Mario Kart runs at 60 frames, but it's probably not nearly as demanding as something like Bayonetta.
Does it?
It does. I don't know why this randomly crossed my mind, but I really hope we see more of Hogwarts Legacy soon.
I was thinking about it the other day.
And get an actual release date. Mm-hmm. I wonder if those developers are just crapping their pants trying to get it ready for November or whenever it's supposed to come. They don't have an official release date. It's just coming out this year, apparently.
Yeah, they're dealing with one of the most ravenous fan bases.
Yes, they are. I'm kind of scared at this point, Jacob. I would rather it be the worst experience of all time than it be good, but just good. Like we said for years, there is so much potential for a game like that it's insurmountable. Like, I would be stressed out of my mind if I was directing that game.
So, side topic, you ready? I got a question.
Yeah.
What is a more risky game? Which would be more shocking to fail more? Would it be Ragnarok or Hogwarts?
That's a great question, Jacob. Yeah. That's a really good question.
Just popped in my head. Because I don't know the answer.
So let me make sure I'm understanding this. Are you asking if I was in the director's seat of either of these games or just as a consumer?
As a consumer, which would you be more surprised? Well, no, as the director of the game, let's say this.
Okay, that's more interesting, I think.
Yeah. Which?
Which would be more stressful to deal with the potential fallout of a failure?
Yes, thank you.
I think it would be Santa Monica with God of War. God of War sold a crazy amount of copies. There's a lot of hype around it. Santa Monica is also in a very good standing with fans right now. Like, look at Naughty Dog.
Yeah.
And I still wholeheartedly believe Naughty Dog didn't do anything to intentionally piss anyone off. They made the game they wanted to make, but it really frustrated a lot of people with Last of Us Part II. And ever since then, there's been kind of a stigma around Naughty Dog in general.
Yeah.
I'm not saying anyone's wrong for feeling that way. I've never thought that anyone's wrong for disliking Last of Us Part II. I think that's totally fair and can honestly, like, if I put myself in those people's shoes, I can understand what they don't like about it. Like, Naughty Dog's kind of in a weird place right now because of that. So if Santa Monica releases Ragnarok in it, I don't think in any world it's going to completely suck. Like I said a few weeks ago now, I think there's a chance it could be kind of disappointing, but I don't think it's going to suck. But I think it'd be more stressful to be the director of that game, knowing that so many people have such high expectations of it. We still haven't seen a really in-depth gameplay demo. Preston told me on the phone, like, he couldn't care less about seeing more. He's just going to, he's ready. He's hyped.
Yeah, I think.
I'm not there personally. That's the thing. I don't need to see more gameplay to maybe I do need to see gameplay to get hyped, because it's rare where I work. I think it's because originally with most games I get hyped for, I'll see just enough to know that I'm definitely excited for that. But I haven't seen enough of God of War Ragnarok to really be excited for it, other than kind of imagining where they could go with the story.
So you don't think that the first game was so good that it doesn't already warrant a new purchase of the sequel? Because I kind of feel like I'm in that boat.
I'm buying it no matter what, okay, for sure, because I have a lot of faith in Santa Monica as a studio.
I understand what you're saying.
I think it'd be more stressful because there's just so much expectation. Whereas Hogwarts Legacy, although a lot of people might, especially mine and Preston, and I mean, honestly, all three of us at this point have wanted a game like this for a long time. It's coming from a studio that isn't nearly as notable. And it's also kind of been in development secretly for a long time. So no one really knows what to expect from it. People are just hoping for a lot, where people have a much higher expectation of Ragnarok. So
I think it would be more shocking if Hogwarts was good as opposed to Ragnarok. Because a lot of people in the Harry Potter universe, they're very used to disappointment at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With all the J.K. Rowling stuff, every year there's something different with her. And then just the Fantastic Beast movies just sucking, and then the whole Johnny Depp thing replacing him. Like, it's just been a train wreck ever since the original movies.
I'm hoping Hogwarts Legacy will be the start of a recalibration for WB and that franchise, because there is endless potential of that franchise. It's just really been dropping the ball for a long time, and not all of it's within their control. So a lot of it is, but not all of it. Mm-hmm. And it'd be great if Hogwarts Legacy just comes out swinging and is just an incredibly fun, replayable, engaging game that a lot of people have always wanted to play. And then I know they're developing a series for HBO Max. I think the best thing they could do is go way back in time, long before Voldemort, write an original story that just takes place at Hogwarts with like a brand new fun cast of characters.
Yeah.
That sounds great to me.
I agree. That'd be cool.
Because I love, even beyond, as much as I love all the story elements and characters of Harry Potter, at the end of the day, what I love most is just the idea of being a kid that goes to that school. So, and like having my own experience there, which is why I'm excited for the game, but I'd love to see just brand new cast of characters that plays out through really. And you could even like say, like, we're going to spend the time developing a 7-season show that's all the 7 years of like a student's journey through Hogwarts. And it's not just about school. There'd be like more to it than that, obviously, but I'd love to see like a really strongly planned and written and played out 7 seasons that doesn't overstay its welcome. They know exactly where it starts, where it goes, and how it's going to end. Mm-hmm. That's in a perfect world if they could pull that off. But I think that'd be awesome.
The only way I would want that is if it was a TV show in the style where there were a lot of episodes. Like, I don't mean a lot by like...
almost like anime style, like One Piece style. See,
I mean, I love One Piece, don't get me wrong, but not that long. Like I want them to be beefy episodes, but I also want there to be a lot of episodes, enough to where you can tell a year's worth of school in a season. Because I feel like if you only do like 8 to 10, I don't know. Cause like, that's a lot of months to cover, and like, maybe you could do it in that amount of episodes. I really don't know, but I don't know. In my mind, it would make more sense to have somewhere in the teens of episodes for something like that.
It's tricky, because you think about most of the Harry Potter movies do a really good job of telling the story of the books in a very short amount of time. Like, I think the longest Harry Potter movie is like close to 3 hours, but some of them are like just over 2.
Yeah.
And you get a whole school year in 2 hours. Now, you don't get everything you get from the books, obviously, in those two hours, but roughly 8 to 10 hours of a school year could be enough time.
Yeah, I guess.
I hear what you're saying, though. I'd want to feel like I really spent like a lot of time in my year one at Hogwarts with whoever these new students are.
Yeah.
And explore parts of the castle and that world that you've never really seen before or expected. And there's so many cool things you could do with the arcs of characters over 7 years. That could be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. That's what I would pitch if I had the opportunity to meet with WB.
Yeah, for sure. So do you think you like Harry Potter or Hogwarts more? Like, just Harry Potter as a person. What's more intriguing to you?
Hogwarts in general is more intriguing to me, but I really do love the story of Harry Potter. I think it's awesome.
Yeah. Because those two things are always so synonymous with each other. Like, it's hard to separate them for me, but... because I think you could tell so many good stories with just the castle itself. Like, it's such a magical place. Like, there's so many people that have gone to that school, you know, allegedly. And you could just tell so many unique stories. They should
it writes
be
itself,
this.
Man. It's like a writer's playground. If you're a Harry Potter fan, you get to write that show. It is your playground, dude. Because mm-hmm. I always had that thought, man, because I've watched the movie so many times. I've read the books. I always had the thought, like, what's the kid like 8 seats down from Harry doing? Like, what's his deal? Like, where does he come from? What's he into? What does he want to be when he graduates here? Like, does he like Quidditch? Like, I've always wondered about the other students there and all the other houses. That's like what's going to be cool about Hogwarts Legacy. Man, there's so much you could do with that franchise, and just it blows my mind they've been dropping the ball for quite a while now.
Let's hope both those games are good, Ragnarok and Hogwarts Legacy. Yeah,
that's all we can do now is hope. Well, Jacob, that brings us to Ask IOG.
Oh, baby.
Ask IOG is the part of the show where we answer your questions submitted through any of our social media at It's Obvious Gaming, the Ask IOG section of our Discord channel, or email to us at itsobviousgaming@gmail.com. And if you want your question read live on the show, always include the hashtag AskIOG. Question one comes from Wham Blam. Wham Blam, oh, Black Betty, Wham Blam.
God,
says, hey guys, after 16 years of waiting, I finally saw the band that got me into the music I listen to now, As I Lay Dying. Ooh. And I must say, they were the most phenomenal performance I've yet to see. Mm-hmm. So my question is, what band are y'all currently listening to, or what kind of music are y'all into at the moment? After you, Jacob.
So I'm listening to a lot right now, but nothing new, unfortunately. Well, let's look at what I've recently downloaded. So
I was gonna do the same thing.
Actually, I haven't been listening to anything too new lately. It's funny, I got into like a Guitar Hero 3 mood, so I started downloading a bunch of songs that were on that game, like The Fall of Troy, Eric Johnson's Cliffs of Dover. Listen to a little Killers, Slayer, you know, all the classics from that game. I even listened to Dragon Force once. Now, that song is wild. Like, I could never play that song on hard, even. Like, I don't know how people even play that on expert. It's crazy. But listening to a little Drake, that Jimmy Cook song is really good. Post Malone's new album, I was really into that for a while. And I'm actually, Garrett, I'm not ashamed to say this. I am a closet Harry Styles fan. I like Harry Styles a lot.
He's a great performer. He's got some catchy songs, too.
Yeah, I like
his. I don't think there's anything wrong liking his music.
I've liked his last two albums, but only like certain songs. I don't like listen to the whole albums.
Yeah, I have my favorites as well. I don't listen to them often, but I do listen to his albums all the way through at least once when they come out.
Yeah, it's like one of those things where I shuffle my library a lot, and if he comes on, I typically let it play. And also, Future. It really just depends. Like, sometimes I'm in like a pop punk mood, and other times I'm in like a rap mood. Really just depends. If I'm in a rap mood, it's more like Post Malone, Drake, Future, maybe some Mike Shinoda sometimes. And then, like, you know, I'm like rock or punk, it's more like right now, Bring Me the Horizon, I'm really into. Sometimes I'll sprinkle in some A Day to Remember, some old school Asking Alexandria, just stuff like that. Oh, I listened to Avril Lavigne's new album. It's not very good.
I didn't know she was still making music.
I didn't either. It's not bad. It has some catchy moments, but not great. Oh, also old school Kanye West. It's hard to beat that.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff for sure.
What about you, dude?
Mostly metal for me, as usual. I do listen to other stuff, if you can believe it, but mostly metal. There's a band called Avoid who was on tour with Silent Planet a while back. They're from Seattle. A bunch of younger dudes, but their music's pretty sick. Their last EP is really good. Been kind of listening to a band called Gleamer recently. I'm not super into it, but it's pretty chill, rockish stuff. It sounds biased because we work with them, but Norma Jean's music, I think, is just so sick. Their new singles have been cool, and I still tout their album All Hail is phenomenal. I think it's a masterpiece, personally. What else? A little Time Cop 1983. I know you're into electronic stuff, Jake. Have you listened to them? Yeah, they're great.
Time Cop. What album should I listen to?
I like Night Drive.
Okay.
There's a band called Bleed From Within that like verges on dad rock or like dad metal, but it's not quite that, but it's just right on the line. And their music is pretty sick. Their last two albums are really, really good. A band called Thornhill, their album Heroin is pretty cool. Little Counterparts. Alan Stone, not metal. Alan Stone's really talented.
Well, I've listened to Time Cop before. Oh, they have a song with The Midnight. Have you ever listened to The Midnight, Garrett? I think you have.
I have. Yeah, their stuff's really good.
Like 2 years ago, I was obsessed with them. They're so good. Like all their albums up until recently are just 10 out of 10s. Even recently, I still like a lot of their albums. They're just not, they don't hit the same highs as they used to. My God, I love The Midnight.
Wamblem, speaking of As I Lay Dying, my mentor, one of my coworkers, shot a video for him and Joey Alicorn from Wolves at the Gate right after I met them. But I was working for I was contracting with a production company at the time, so I was not able to go to this shoot with them. Originally, I was going to, but the scheduling didn't work out. But shot a really cool video for a new band they were trying to get up off the ground. I don't think that band's going to work out, unfortunately, but the video is really cool. I can't remember the name of it. They got to work with him, which would have been a cool experience. But I mean, I know Tim Lambesis has a whole story surrounding him over the last several years, which I can't really comment on because I don't know all the details. But I also grew up listening to As I Lay Dying. I thought their old stuff especially is really sick back in the day. I even liked their most recent album. I thought was really good. What's the song I like by them? I think it's called Confined. It's one of my favorite old As I Lay Dying songs. It is. Yeah, Confined is a sick song. 2005. But yeah, they're a really solid band, and I'm glad you liked the performance. I'm trying to think of a show I've been to recently I really dug. I haven't been to too many shows in a while.
I have some of my best memories at metal shows. Like they just mm-hmm. they hit diff, as the kids say, man.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Well, Lyric also wrote in. It says John Romero is making an FPS in Unreal 5. What type of game do you think it will be, and do you think it will be any good? I'm hoping for a Daya Katana 2, because I think Romero has the ego to pull it off. You'll have to forgive me, man. I don't know anything about John Romero's history with video games. I should have done my research before reading this question. I apologize. Co-founder of id Software. Okay. So he's involved with a ton of classic shooters. So Daya Katana came out in 2000. I'll have to look into that, because I haven't actually ever heard of that. Quake, Doom, Doom 2, Wolfenstein 3D, Sigil. So he's been involved with some total classics. Well, man, if he's making an FPS in Unreal 5, why not tackle Daya Katana? Because I know Quake and Doom have gotten good treatment over the last several years, so why not go there again?
I mean, does he still work with
id Software? I don't know. Yeah,
that's the question.
I don't know.
Because they probably own that IP.
Forgive me for my ignorance, but yeah, I mean, an FPS in Unreal 5 is always probably going to be pretty sick. I feel like it's hard to make a bad FPS in Unreal 5. I mean, look at Halo Infinite dealing with their crappy engine. Halo Infinite plays very well, but that game's just in flames right now because they can't do anything right with their own engine. So I feel like most games, shooters especially, should just go with Unreal. I know Frostbite works well for shooters too, but Unreal is just a very powerful and effective engine. So, you know, whatever he's doing, man, I'm definitely going to look into it and keep an eye on it, because I didn't realize he was involved with games like that back in the day.
Yeah, I had never heard of him either. Seems like a pretty notable guy. If I had to guess, like, I'm assuming if he's just by himself, like making, I mean, I don't know if he's still working for id, but if he's not, I assume he would just make something that's very in the same vein as those kind of games. You know, something.
I love me a good visceral, fast-paced arena shooter, man. I'd love to see something like that mm-hmm. again. So I've always known the name John Romero. I just didn't realize what games he had been involved with. So that's really cool. Last one's from Dog God. It says, life's a fleeting thing. No one knows where it's going, how it will take you there, or when it inexplicably ends. Everyone takes tomorrow or even the next hour for granted, and limitless potential has been squandered, lost to the perpetual abyss of demise, because the simple rule of life was disregarded. What's on your to-do list? If you know for sure that you, one, have 24 hours left to live, and two, have 365 days to live.
Oh, man.
A day versus a year left to live. What would you do?
That's tough. So, I'm going to do 24 hours first.
Sure.
If I had 24 hours to live.
I actually have a really boring answer to that one.
Well, then I'm going to go. So, this is tough. So, obviously, you know, you would say your goodbyes to everybody. That would be the most important thing to do. Definitely, since I am a single man right now, I'd probably go to a strip club at some point. Definitely got to get laid before I die.
You're going to a strip club to get laid?
That's the easiest place, right?
That sounds like a horrible idea.
And since I don't have to worry about my money, I can just throw it all away at the best prospect I got, you know?
Man,
like,
you
listen, I got no time to make, like, you think I'm going to form a relationship in a day, Garrett? Like, you think I'm going to do that? And then I'm going to have sex with them? I don't think so. I'm working with what I got here. So I'm probably going to go to a strip club at night. But besides that, probably going to eat my favorite foods, which is probably my mother's fried chicken. She makes a dynamite fried chicken. It is out of this world. What else would I do? I don't think I would play any games. I think I would be a little preoccupied. Could you imagine just playing a game on your last day living? How boring would that be?
I cannot, actually.
That just seems like so minuscule in the grand scheme. This is really tough. Like, here's the problem, is that if you know you only have one day left to live, like, I'm the type of person that would be so, like, I would just be traumatized if that was the case. Like, I wouldn't even know what to do with myself. Does that make sense? Like, I would just be terrified. Like I would just be shocked. Like, I wouldn't even know how to comprehend what was going on.
Mm. Well, tell me this, Jacob. What in your life are you still hoping to experience that you haven't experienced yet? Is that what is kind of playing into that fear a bit?
Maybe a little bit.
Because we could go extremely heavy with this question. I don't really have, if it wasn't so late, I'd say we could do it. We could do it on another episode, but just maybe for the sake of brevity, throw something out there without thinking too deeply about it right now.
Well, see, the problem is you can't really, so if you're somewhere, it would be hard to really travel somewhere unless it was a short flight. And would that flight, the time it takes to take that flight, would that be worth going to a place? I don't necessarily know if it would be. It depends where it is, I guess. I guess it would be nice to see the beach one last time. Like, I've, as we spoke about earlier, I'm really into the pool. I've always loved being at the beach by the water. That would be nice to go be by. As one does when they're about to die, I would probably, you know, have some confession. You know, I'd probably have some time alone with God. Obviously, that would probably be a thing. That'd probably be in my final moments if I had to really think about it. I'd have a milkshake. I love milkshakes. Oh,
what
you
kind
know
of milkshake?
What kind. Tell me.
Oreo?
No. Peach milkshake from Chick-fil-A.
From Chick-fil-A, yeah.
Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, peach milkshake's great.
Also love chocolates, but peach is just better. I can't think of anything else.
I just see you on the beach with your milkshake just waiting for the end. That's beautiful, Jacob. That's beautiful. And you, and you're trying to slurp up some of your shake, but a bit of peach blocks it, so you gotta take the straw out and slurp it out back the other way.
Don't remind me.
That's the thing. I was going to say I have a bone to pick with Chick-fil-A peach milkshakes because they are amazing. And I'm not even disgusted by the bits of peach. I like the bits of peach, but sometimes there are so many that I feel like I'm just sucking golf balls through a garden hose trying to get the milkshake out. I almost like wish it was just all the peach flavor packed into the shake with fewer or no bits at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, honestly, I think I would just spend time with the people that I care about most in my life. That would be that would be my answer. Like you can go.
I love that I'm like pouring my heart out about peach milkshakes, and you're like, honestly, I would just spend more time with the people I love.
Yeah, I'm on the question, dude. Like, I don't care about your peach milkshake problems. Yeah. Like, you're lost.
I mean, you're the one who brought it up, bro.
You're the one that doesn't understand why they're
you're
so
the one who's
good.
Having one in your the last day of your life.
Yeah, it's worth it. Hey, those peaches that are stuck in your straw are little surprises that you have to work really hard for. And once you get them out, you're always glad because they taste so good.
Yeah, they're good. I just don't want to work that hard to slurp a milkshake, you know?
You can just use a spoon, man. I think you're working too hard.
It'd be pretty good with a spoon.
It's better.
That's what
straw.
I like about cookout milkshakes is that they're technically just soft serve ice cream. You could let it melt into a milkshake. When you get it, it's full on soft serve ice cream. And I like eating it like ice cream.
Yeah, true.
Anyway, my boring answer for a day, I'm thankful to say as of right now in this moment of my life, doesn't mean it's not going to change in the future. I have said everything I need to say to everyone in my life. I have not left anything unsaid. By God's grace, I get to do what I love every single day for work. I definitely want to see more of the world. I hope to be a dad one day. I hope to be married one day. But I can let those things go. If I knew I was dying within 24 hours, I'd be like, well, that's unfortunate, but that isn't what would ultimately bring me fulfillment. It may be different for someone else, but me personally, although I would love to experience that, it's not going to ultimately bring me lasting fulfillment on earth. And that really comes down to just my faith and my beliefs and just life experience. That can't be the same for everyone, obviously, but if I were to die in 24 hours, I'd honestly be at peace about it. I could go 10 times deeper than that, but I'm not going to on the podcast. It doesn't feel like the right time. If we knew we were going to have a last episode of this podcast, that's the kind of stuff I'd tackle somewhere in there. Like, if you really want to get to know the people on this podcast, we'll go there, but I don't think I'm going to go there tonight. Last day, I've said everything I want to say. I've experienced a lot of wonderful things in life. I would just ride it out with the people I love most and just go. Yep. So, and I also know, and I so fully believe and know where I believe I'm going. So I've no fear over that. It would kind of be a bummer, of course. Like I said, there's plenty of things I'd like to experience, but I don't need them to be happy. So
sure.
That's my boring answer. For some, that may be cool, but for most, it might be boring. So what about a year, Jake? What are you doing with the last year of your life?
Last year? So where I'm at right now, I would probably drop everything right now and probably find... So I was thinking about you saying you wanted to have kids someday, and I do, but I can't, that's not realistic to fit in a year, because I was going to say that. I mean, you can have a kid unless,
in a year, but yeah, not much time.
Right. It would almost be worth it just because you're bringing a new life into the world. Honestly, I think it would mostly revolve around travel for me. I've spent a large portion of my life not traveling, and it's always been something that I've kind of wanted to do. I've just never had the financials or the time really with my current job to do that. So I would, if I only had a year left, I would quit my job on the spot and travel to, I would basically try to go to a little bit of something. Like, so I would try to go visit like a desert. I'd go to like a really, really nice beach that I've never been to before. I'd go to like a really nice national park. I would go to, I'd probably try to hit every country that I could that I haven't been to before just to see it. And ideally with people that I really care about in my life to experience those things together. I would probably, so assuming there's no strings attached, I was probably, if I could get away with it, I would buy as nice a car as I could just to drive something really nice for a little while. Even if it's not only for, you know, for a few days or something, just to experience that. Why is this so tough?
It's a very heavy question.
Like, I don't feel like it should be hard, but it is hard for me. What does that mean?
I contemplate death pretty often. I know that sounds kind of morbid. To some people, that may be totally normal, but I think about it pretty often, actually.
Yeah?
Hey, you know one quote that always moves me every time I think about it with making mainly big decisions in my life? It's going to sound really stupid, but I think it's a beautiful moment in the movie. And the first Transformers movie, there's that scene where Bumblebee fights the cop car and kills him near the beginning. He's already met Megan Fox. It's in that like junkyard. Bumblebee turns back into a car, opens the door and uses the radio system to like get in the car. And Shia LaBeouf goes to get in and Megan Fox is like, what are you doing? Like, you can't get in that car. And he looks at her and he says something like, in 50 years, are you going to look back in your life and wish you got in the car? And she like hesitates for a minute and then they jump in and like take off and the music swells up. It's like a really beautiful moment in an otherwise crazy movie. But that quote has always kind of spoken to me because there's been multiple moments in my life where I'm like, in 50 years from now, am I going to wish I had said this or wish I had done that? That isn't the only thing that motivates me to make bolder decisions in my life. There's a lot more to it than that. But that is a fun aspect to it to consider is in 50 years of your life, are you going to wish you'd gone and done that thing or said this thing to that person, even if it scared you, taking that job, even though you thought it may have been risky, or let go of something in your life, even though there may have been a lot of risk and pain involved? That always motivates me every single day of my life, and the small moments and the big moments. So that's why I can say for the day left of my life, I'd be not too upset about it because I've left nothing unsaid and I've done a lot of things I've wanted to do, thankfully. My year's a little different, but that's a quote to consider.
Yeah. No, that helped a lot, actually. That made me realize something that I really want that I don't have right now.
What's that?
That is someone to love right now. Like, I mean, a significant other.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that I desperately want right now, and I don't have it. That would be something that I would be seeking to achieve in my last year if I hadn't already, if I only had a year to live. And I probably wouldn't tell that person until I was sure that I had found it. But even then, I would be hesitant Not that like I don't want to keep things from them. It's like would someone? Yeah, no, I probably would tell them. You know, once I got to know them well enough, because that would be something you should share, right? It's like, hey, I don't know how to say this, but I'm gonna die.
or you could just. Oh, I thought you meant like I don't know how to tell you I love you.
Oh no.
It could be like what's that movie, A Walk to Remember, with what's her name?
Oh yeah.
Classic. I don't know her it's name. Kind of like a sad romantic comedy. I don't even know if it's a comedy; it's just a romantic sad movie. Yeah. But
it's an old movie.
Very old. It has Dare You to Move by Switchfoot in the movie.
It does.
That's iconic, how you know it's old. Yeah.
I remember how obsessed everyone in our school was with that album when it came out.
Beautiful Letdown? Yeah. Switchfoot?
I think so, yeah.
It's still a really good album. There's some great songs on there.
I bet.
Meant to Live, it's a great tune.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a banger.
Yeah, it is.
I dare you to move.
I just remember the guitar part and the breakdown. It's like, ban-an-an-an, ban-an-an-an, ban-an-an-an. This is a kid. I was like, oh, I like this acoustic stuff. And when the electric came in, I was pretty stoked. Their album right after that, too, with like Stars was on it. And a couple others were really good on that follow-up album.
I agree.
They've had so much music, though. They have like a dozen albums, I think.
Really?
I knew a super fan when I was in audio engineering school who had seen them at the time. This was back in 2013. He'd seen them 36 times. That's crazy, dude.
That's weird.
I mean, if you're a super fan, like, to each their own, but I can't imagine even seeing my favorite bands 36 times.
Why Switchfoot?
I don't know, man. He's just really into why is anyone into any band?
Well, Garrett, if we're talking about Linkin Park, like, why aren't you a fan of Linkin Park?
I'm a fan of Linkin Park.
Like, you can't say that for Switchfoot. Yeah, you can't say that for Switchfoot.
I don't love all their music, but Hybrid Theory, Meteora, and
Minutes to Midnight, A Thousand Suns.
A handful of songs in Minutes to Midnight, like those three albums in particular, shred. They're so good.
Living Things.
I've had a random thought recently. I was talking to someone about like our favorite breakdowns in music. And then I had the thought of like my favorite screams in metal songs. And I have a top three favorite screams.
Let's hear it.
One of them is Chester and Given Up at the end. That's one of the most epic screams of all time by far.
It is. I love it.
My other favorite is... forget my language. Used to cuss a lot more in this podcast. We've really tried to clean up my language over the years. But the motherfucker scream in Eyeless by Slipknot is one of the most gnarly screams in metal of all time.
That's another good one.
It's rare because there's a difference between screams that are technical and sound good. And there's also screams you can literally feel and hear the rage in their voice. Mm-hmm. And Corey Taylor is so freaking pissed in that song, dude, that when he screams that word, you can literally hear his voice crack and like go hoarse from screaming it as hard as he can. Mm-hmm. And that makes it like hit 10 times harder. And my third favorite is this is going to sound so weird, but the meow scream from Josh Scoggin in the song Memphis Will Be Laid to Waste on the first Norma Jean album. There's a bit like in the middle of the song where he literally screams meow. And I've always thought that's so sick for some reason.
I got to check that out.
I could name a dozen great screams, but those are my top three.
I don't think I could. I don't know enough.
I know a lot of metal. I could probably do a metal podcast too.
Garrett, stop getting sidetracked. What would you do on your last day? Your last year?
My last year?
Yeah.
It's hard to say, man, because it's not totally dissimilar from my first or my last day, but with a year, you can do a lot in a year. I would do more often what I'm called to do. A lot of people probably won't like hearing this, but I mean it from like the most kind-hearted, genuine place possible. But I would share the gospel more with people I meet randomly when it feels appropriate. I'm called to share it as a believer and follower of Christ with everyone always, but I would generally share the gospel more often without fear or trepidation. And I'm not really fearful of sharing it today. I'm just a little more, there really is no excuse at the end of the day. I don't have a good excuse. There is not one that exists, but I would share the gospel more. I would also like to travel as much as possible, probably share the gospel while I'm traveling, preferably with someone or a group of people I love. And that really is like I said, one of the parts of dying is like, I would like to see more of the world that God created, because it is so breathtakingly beautiful. And not just locations, but cultures and people. Mm-hmm. Is a huge part of the experience of traveling. So that'd be a big one for me. Travel, share the gospel, really much like an old apostle, like Paul back in the day. Yeah, I would just want to be as rooted in as many places and cultures as possible in my final days, I think, with the people I love. All while sharing the good news of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Do you think through the power of Jesus Christ, you would also, maybe this is out of place, but.
Or the kids would say out of pocket.
Have you not heard that one? That you would have a peach milkshake at some point during that last year.
Well, obviously it's the Lord's chicken. Why am I not going to not have some of the Lord's chicken along with one of the Lord's milkshakes?
Correct. Good answer.
I would definitely have a peach milkshake. You know what I would really like again that I haven't brought back in a few years is the key lime pie milkshake. Did you have that when it came out at Chick-fil-A?
All right. Thank you guys for tuning in this week.
Did you not like it?
No. Oh, I didn't
dude,
try.
Dude, I loved it, man. I had it like, I was out of control, dude. I had it like 3 times a week for 2 months straight.
As I've said many times, my dad is the key lime pie dude. I am not. I don't like it.
Dude, I had good key lime pie the other night, actually.
I believe you.
I'm way into I love pie in general, but key lime's up there for me.
I love pie, too. Like I love
we had a great pie debate
pie.
On this podcast once.
I love peanut butter pie. I love cherry pie. I like
apple
all the pies.
Pie. I know Preston likes his pecan pie.
That's
boy.
The only pie I don't like.
I like it. It's just way too sugary for me. It's like pure candy, but it is good.
Blech.
I can have a bite of pecan pie.
I love
Excuse
that.
Me, pecan.
Pumpkin pie.
Oh, pumpkin pie is good too, man.
So good. Really with some Cool Whip, baby.
Definitely.
I'm getting sweaty just thinking about it.
Yeah, dude. You know what my favorite bit with Zach is? I don't know why we say this as often as we do, but every time we have like a pastry or cake, or especially pie. I think of that scene in Inglourious Basterds where Christoph Waltz is in the like French bistro with the girl and he doesn't realize that she's the girl that escaped when she was younger or whatever. And he orders pie and he's like basically scaring her to death. And she's about to take a bite of the pie and he goes, don't forget the cream. And they glob the cream onto the pie. And that's one thing Tarantino does really well. He makes you crave things with his food scenes. Like in Django Unchained, it's the beer tap where they have pints. Yeah. It's like, I always want a beer when I see that scene. And then in that scene, I'm like, I want pie with cream now.
All the cream.
And then even at the beginning, where it's the ice cold glass of milk. I'm like, now I want a glass of milk. And I never want just a glass of milk. But the way they shot it, I want it now.
Oh, Garrett, you'll be happy to know that I'm only drinking black coffee now.
Nice. Good for you, Jacob. What changed?
I just started eliminating things out of my life that were unnecessary, like cream in my coffee and sugar.
Cream?
And soda. Stuff like that. Clean up my diet a little bit.
Cool.
And I'm actually really enjoying black coffee. It's good.
I love it, too. When it's brewed well, and especially from the right place, there really are nuances and flavors you can pick up on.
See, I don't know if I've had a good one, but... I'm
satisfied. Come to Atlanta, Jacob.
I'll
get you treated right.
I will. We got to go see Nope.
We can make a day out of it if you want.
Nope. Yep.
Nope.
Yeah, let's do it.
Cool. Well, Jacob, obviously we could have gone 10 times deeper with that question, but Dog God, thanks for writing in. Thank you to everyone who wrote in this week and for tuning into the podcast as always. I know this is basically a movie podcast, but there's minimal gaming news, but I'm grateful that we were able to come together and knock it out, Jacob.
Yes, I enjoyed this a lot. Thank you for talking to me.
Likewise, and I look forward to seeing Nope with you, hopefully later this week.
Nope.
On that note, ladies and gentlemen, once again, thank you for tuning in to episode 273. This podcast is available on all podcasting services, including YouTube, and we love you, greatly appreciate your support, and we will talk to you again soon.
Later.
Peace.